Man, the title of my sermon this evening is A Menace to Society. A Menace to Society. What is a menace? Well, I looked it up in the dictionary. Number one, it's something that threatens to cause evil, harm, injury, etc. Number two, a person whose actions, attitudes, or ideas are considered dangerous or harmful. Number three, an extremely annoying person. And the people that I'm talking about tonight are all of the above. And they are a menace unto our society. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days, verse number 1, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times shall come. And then it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, the first thing I want to point out here is that the Bible is not saying that everybody is going to be a lover of their own selves. The Bible is simply saying that there will be people, there will be a subset of people that fit this bill that we're going to talk about here, the lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. It's not everybody, folks, but it is a group of people within society that make society dangerous for everyone. They bring about perilous times. There will be perilous times for means because. Because men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And the reason I make a big deal about that is that as we come down the list here, it's going to become apparent that he's talking about a specific group of people. Because as we go down the line here and he gets through all these attributes, verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, etc., he says in verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So he's saying, turn away from this specific group of people. So men are going to do this, 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 and this. From such men, from such people, because obviously it's not a certain gender when it says men, it's just talking about humans, people. They are the kind of people that you should turn away from because these people, at the end of verse 8, are men of corrupt minds and they are reprobate concerning the faith. Okay, so there is a segment in society that is a dangerous element. They're a menace. They're super wicked. They're reprobate concerning the faith. And we should beware of these people. We should turn away from these people. Yeah. We should avoid the freaks and weirdos of our society that would be characterized by this list. The Bible says, from such turn away. Now, if you're stupid, you will basically let these people into your home, and you say, well, why would you say that? Well, look at verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. You see, silly women are the people that would be duped by them and allow them into their home and think that they're fine, and they would be deceived by them. Okay. Now, go if you would to Romans chapter 1. We're going to come back to, and in fact, keep your finger in both places. Be in 2 Timothy 3 and also be in Romans chapter 1 because we're going to kind of go back and forth between these two. Because I want to show you that these are parallel passages. The same author, humanly speaking, wrote both of these. The Apostle Paul wrote the epistle to the Romans, and the Apostle Paul is also writing the epistle of 2 Timothy to his young protege in the ministry, Timothy, who's also a preacher, and he's teaching him, and he's saying a lot of the same things that he said in Romans 1. He's the same author saying the same things. Obviously, God is ultimately providing the divine inspiration for his word, and so whether it's Romans 1 or 2 Timothy 3, it's God's word. It's the final authority because it's from the mouth of God, but it also has a human author, in both cases, the Apostle Paul. And obviously, he has the same type of people in mind when he's writing Romans 1 as when he's writing 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you compare the two lists that we see. So in Romans chapter 1, starting verse number 24, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So there are these wicked people, and God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. So they have all this corruption in their own heart, and God just kind of just gives them over to that and just kind of lets them go crazy with what was already in their own rotten heart. And it says in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile means, you know, gross, just disgusting, horrific. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So these people are super perverted. They're dudes burning in lust with other dudes, women with women, men with men. They're perverted. They're homos. And what does he say about them? He says that God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Not convenient meaning that they don't come naturally. They're not something that they would have done on their own. But rather, normal people have certain restrictions to their behavior. Whereas when God gives someone up or gives someone over, obviously he didn't dream up the weird things that they do, but rather he gives them over to the lust of their own hearts. He sort of just removes the restraint, removes the governor, and they become sort of like an animal where they just kind of do anything without conscience. Okay? And so that's what we see here, that God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things, because normal men would never burn in lust toward other men. But God gave them over to that through the lust of their own hearts because they rejected God, they hated God, and so forth. So, I'm assuming that we kind of have a basic understanding of Romans 1. Otherwise, that's it in a nutshell. You know, these people rejected the Lord, they hated God, and so they didn't want to even retain God in their knowledge. They don't even want to remember that God even exists. So then God says, well, fine, and he gives them over to a reprobate mind. And when he just gives them over to their own heart's lust, they end up just doing all kinds of animalistic, horrific, disgusting things. So, right away, we see a connection between 2 Timothy 3 and Romans 1. Because, keep your finger in Romans 1, look back at 2 Timothy 3. It said of these people, in verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. There's your reprobate mind right there. They have a corrupt mind that is reprobate concerning the faith. And so that's the reprobate mind that we saw in Romans chapter 1. And it says they resist the truth. You see, in Romans chapter 1, it said, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened as a result of that. And so, therefore, they knew God in Romans 1. They were exposed to him. They knew who he was. They knew of God, but they rejected him. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says that they resist the truth, meaning that they've been exposed to the truth, they've heard the truth, they've had the truth preached to them, but they have resisted that, they've rejected that, and now they are men of corrupt minds, and they are reprobate concerning the faith. Now, the word reprobate simply means rejected. Rejected. And I like to point to Jeremiah 6:30, where it says, reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord has rejected them. Okay, so God has rejected them. They are reprobate. This is why, according to verse 7, they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, plenty of other people are wrong today, but they will be right tomorrow. They will come to the knowledge of the truth. There are many people today who do not believe on Jesus Christ. They reject the word of God. They may even make fun of the things of God, but someday they may have a change of heart. They may learn the truth. They may come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and believe on Christ and be saved. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 here that these people are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. No matter how much they learn, they can never come to the truth. They're blocked from getting saved because they're reprobates. They can't come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why in John chapter 12 teaches something very similar when it says, therefore they could not believe because God you know, hardened their hearts and blinded their eyes. And that's what it said in Romans 1. Their foolish heart was darkened. And so these people are doomed. It's too late for them. They're not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. John 12, they could not believe. Here he says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know, they didn't even want to retain God in their knowledge. They're like, we don't want to remember that you even exist, God. And basically, God turns around and says, well, I'm done with you too. Like, if you're that done with me, then I'm done with you too. And you say, well, I just don't think God's ever done with anyone. Well, here's the thing. There's this place called hell. And it's filled with people right now, and God's done with all of them. There is not a single person in hell right now that God is not done with. Hell is filled with people that God is done with. He's done. There's no second chance for those that are in hell. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they're not going to get another chance, because if they got another chance, every single one of them would take it. You know, it's amazing what burning in hell for a little while will do to you. You're going to take that second chance. But guess what? There isn't a second chance. We need to be saved in this lifetime. This is when we have hope of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We've got to get saved now before it's eternally too late. And of course, most of us already are saved. But if there's anybody here tonight that's not saved, you better get saved fast, because you never know when you're going to take your last breath. And hell is eternal, and there's no getting out. But we see here that in 2 Timothy 3, they're not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're reprobate concerning the faith. And then in Romans 1, it's God gave them up. God gave them over. God gave them up. They don't want to remember him. Well, guess what? I reject you too. And that's the idea that we get. So these two passages are very similar, aren't they? They're both talking about reprobates. But not only that, look at the similarity of the attributes of the description in Romans 1 versus the description in 2 Timothy 3. So in 2 Timothy 3, it says in verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And then he goes into some of their attributes besides lovers of their own selves. He says they're covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Well, look, we're going to find all this same stuff over in Romans 1. Keep your finger there in 2 Timothy 3, but the first things on the list were covetous, boasters, and proud, right? Well, if we go over to Romans 1, we find covetousness in Romans 1, verse 29, in their attributes. We find pride in verse 30, right? Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters. So those are the three things that we just saw on the list in 2 Timothy 3, covetous, boasters, proud. And then it says, inventors of evil things, verse 30 there, disobedient to parents. Look back at 2 Timothy 3, 2. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Well, we had unthankful over in Romans chapter 1 as well, when he said that they knew God, but they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. Yeah. Then he says, unholy, 2 Timothy 3, 3, without natural affection. Yeah. Romans 1, 31 says, without natural affection as well. Okay, Romans 1:31 also says they are covenant breakers. 2 Timothy 3:3, truce breakers. Same thing, right? Truce breaker, covenant breaker, they're breaking an agreement, etc. And so if you go back and forth and just do a little comparison like that, you can see that the same things are on the list. And even the ones that aren't worded exactly the same, you can find their analogs, and they both are talking about the same group of people, okay? Now, with that in mind, go back over to Romans chapter 1. So Romans chapter 1 is talking about these men with men and women with women, and they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. At the beginning of verse 29, it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, and then it goes down that list. Filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. It goes down that list of what they're filled with, okay? Reprobates, homos, men who lust after other men, these are their attributes. They're filled with these attributes. Now, a lot of people try to twist this passage and just try to say that, like, oh, well, if you do these things, you're a reprobate or something. Like, if you do anything on this list. That's ridiculous, because every single person in this world has done something on this list. Unthankful, I mean, everybody's been unthankful at times. The Bible's not saying that if you disobey your parents, you're a reprobate. I mean, that's just stupid. But the reason why they want to say that is because they want to just kind of twist your mind around this passage so that you won't get the teaching of this passage. You see, this passage is a powerful passage, and people just want to just try to get you confused so that you miss what it's saying. And it's like, we're all reprobates. Everybody's a reprobate. But Jesus loves us all. And isn't it great? You know, we're all in the same boat and whatever. No, we're not in that boat, my friend. Okay? That's a faggoty boat, my friend. And we're not all in that boat. Okay? Because look, yes, we're all sinners. Yes, no one is perfect. But let me tell you this right now. Not everyone is a reprobate. And even unsaved people, most unsaved people are not reprobates. Your average Joe unsaved person is not a reprobate. Okay? The vast majority of people out there are not saved and they're not a reprobate, meaning that they could still go either way. They could still go to heaven or hell. This is why we're so into preaching the gospel to every creature and evangelizing, because we know that the vast majority of people out there can still go either way. They're not saved. They're not a reprobate. They're lost, and we need to get them saved before it's eternally too late. But see, once a person gets saved, it's too late for them to get unsaved. Because once you're saved forever. So once you're saved and you're a child of God, you know what? Sorry, the devil's not going to get to you because you're saved and you're going to heaven and there's nothing that could ever change that. It's too late for you if you're saved to go to hell. You know, that's a good kind of too late. Okay. But on the flip side of that, these people who have gone all the way down that dark path and become a reprobate, it's too late for them too because they are children of Satan. And they are sons of Belial, and they are reprobate and rejected by the Lord, and their foolish hearts have been darkened, their eyes have been blinded, and they cannot come to the knowledge of the truth, they cannot believe, they're doomed, game over for them, right? It's over for them. So you've got these two extremes, the people that are saved eternally, and the people who are already eternally damned, even though they're still walking around with us on this earth, they're a dead man walking because they have no hope of salvation. They're completely doomed, okay? But then you have the vast majority of people that are neither. They're unsaved, but there's still hope for them. And that's the people that we're trying to reach every day and trying to give them the gospel and get them saved so that we can prevent them from ever, you know, going to hell someday, which is what we don't want anyone to go to hell. So we want to, you know, get as many people saved as we can while there's still hope. Okay. So this is what the Bible is teaching here. And so when it gives this list, what the list is saying is like, look, these reprobate people, they're full of all of this stuff. They do all of this. This is what they're like because God doesn't want us to think that they're nice people. Like, well, they just believe wrong on salvation. You know, they have a problem with God. It's kind of a personal problem between them and God. But they can get along with everyone else. Right? It's just Jehovah and them have an issue. The Lord Jesus Christ and them have an issue. But they can get along with everyone else. But the reality is, no, the people who hate the Lord, the people who hate Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about unsaved people. I'm talking about people that are really unsaved, where they're reprobates. Hey, they hate the Lord. They are a menace to everyone. They're not nice people. They're not okay and getting along with everyone else. It's just a religious issue that they have. No, these people are rotten people to the core. And they are just filled with all unrighteousness. And what else are they filled with? Well, they're filled with fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. What does it mean to be malicious? You know, it just means that you want to hurt other people. You want to harm other people. You have ill will toward other people, okay? Comes from the same root as the Spanish word that probably all of us know living in Arizona, malo, right? The opposite of bueno, okay? Mal, bad, malicious. It's that ill will or evil intent that they have. And you know, that maliciousness, that's not pointed toward God, my friend. The maliciousness is pointed toward other humans. To be malicious has nothing to do with their feelings toward God. It has to do with how they treat the people around them. They're malicious people. That's what the Bible is saying. They have malice toward those around them. They're full of envy. Why? Because they're lovers of their own selves. And so, therefore, they want everything for themselves. They're not happy for you when you succeed or do well. They want what you have. They are envious of you. They are filled with murder. They are violent. They would kill people. Okay? That's what it means, murder. Kill people. They kill people.
Well, I just don't think that homos have anything to do with killing people.
Well, then you know what? You can just go ahead and just come up with your own ideas. Maybe you can write like the epistle to the Romans by you or something, and you can make up your own Bible. But here we believe in the Bible that God wrote, and God says they're full of murder. Done. End of story. But I don't care what you think. The Bible says they're full of murder. They're full of murder.
Well, I just don't understand.
I don't care what you understand. The Bible said they're full of murder. They're evil people. You know what? They're hateful. They're hateful, and they will kill each other. You know, all the time you hear about these sodomites killing each other in some, you know, I don't even want to say lovers spat, because they don't even have any love except for themselves. But in their perverted relationships, they're always getting violent with one another and killing one another. I'm sure they love abortion. I wonder how many pro-life faggots there are in this world. Huh? How many? I wonder if we were to do a poll of flaming sodomites, how many of them would say, hey, man, you know, abortion's murder, and we, or how many of them would probably promote murder and promote abortion? I wouldn't be surprised if 99% plus of homos would just openly say abortion is good. Well, it sounds like they're full of murder. Looks like the Bible turned out to be right. Because the Bible is always right, okay, every single time. It says they're full of murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. And so here's the thing about these people. If they're a backbiter and a whisperer, that sounds to me like they might be appearing to be one thing and they're actually something else. And so for you to just sit there and say, well, it just doesn't seem like that's how they are when they work at my job or when I see them on TV or whatever. Well, here's the thing. How they seem and how they really are not the same thing. That's the whole point why it says they're a whisperer. That shows their duplicitous nature, that they are pretending to be one thing, but behind your back, they're biting you in the back. They are whispering behind your back. They are malicious and malignant and deceitful behind your back. Okay, so you can't expect to necessarily see all this in the open. If you're smart, you'll just believe the Bible when the Bible said they're like this. See, I don't have to go out and just hang around a bunch of sodomites to figure out if they're really like this or not. I just assume that the Bible's true because it's the Word of God. And so I'm just going to believe what it says about them. And, you know, then it says that they're haters of God, despiteful, and then it says proud. You know, and this has become their buzzword, hasn't it? This is literally their slogan, pride. And now you'll see even like children's cereals will turn rainbow colored and it'll be called the Pride Edition. Or, you know, the parades that they do in Phoenix here is called Phoenix Pride. And the Bible says that everyone who is proud of heart is an abomination to the Lord. But they've taken one of the worst sins in the Bible, one of the most destructive sins in the Bible, which is pride, and they have exalted it as a virtue and said, be proud. Pride is good. And you say, why are you preaching on this? Well, part of the reason I'm preaching on this is because it's that time of the year again. You know, today is what? May the 29th. And so that means in 2-3 days, every business is going to change their avatar on social media to a rainbow version, right? All the banks and the airlines and all these different businesses and companies, what are they going to do? They're going to get that little rainbow logo and they're going to start promoting all this sodomite filth, right? So excuse me for getting up on May 29th and getting up and warning you about these people. And the moral of the story tonight, you know, I wasn't sure if I should call the sermon this, Avoid Freaks. Okay, that's an alternate title for the sermon tonight. Avoid freaks. From such, turn away. You say, why do you preach about this, Pastor Anderson? Because I want you to turn away from these people. That's why. I know you're not a sodomite. I know you're never going to be a sodomite because you're saved. You're a saved Christian. You're never going to be a reprobate. You're never going to be given over to a reprobate mind. God would never do that to you. God loves you. You're his child. He's not going to turn you over to a reprobate mind. But you know what? You're in danger of being around these people, being influenced by these people, and not understanding the menace that they pose, and not realizing that you need to turn away from such. Avoid these freaks. Get away from them. They are toxic people. Get them out of your life. You say, well, my cousin, you get him out of your life. Well, you know, I mean, Uncle so-and-so. Get him out of your life. If it's your Siamese twin, amputate it, okay? Get these freaks out of your life. I don't get, I'm just making the point of how close of a relative I'm saying. I don't care how they're related to you. If it's a Siamese twin, cut it off, okay? If thy Siamese twin offend thee in this way, you know, cut it off and cast it from thee. If it's a reprobate, blah, 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 blah. You see, the Bible says, from such, turn away. That's what I'm preaching tonight, is that God doesn't want us to hang around these people. He doesn't want us to be influenced by them. He doesn't want us to look up to them. He doesn't want them over at our house for barbecue. And the sad thing is that Christianity today is teaching you the opposite of what I'm teaching in general. You know, this guy, Todd Friel from Wretched Radio. And this guy is considered a pretty conservative guy. Here's a conservative evangelical Christian guy. I mean, he said, if your, you know, cousin or your aunts or uncles, if they're homos, he didn't even call them homos. He called them like gay or something. I don't use that word, okay? That word offends me. But, he basically said that if your relative's a homo, have them over to your house and have them around your children. He just said, you just need to just explain to your children, though, that that's a sin. But he said, have them over for a barbecue, have them at your house, you know, let them be around your kids and stuff. If it's a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or a cousin, or, you know, bring them over, be around them. Just warn the children about that lifestyle and warn them that it's a, no, just cut them out of your life. How about that? How about not bringing pedophiles into your house, you big dumb idiot? Why would you bring somebody into your house that's a pervert? It's a known predator, a known pervert, a pedophile, and you bring them into your house, right? It's absurd. But this is what Christianity is teaching today. And so guess what? I'm going to get up and teach the opposite, because I'm not buying into this lame, watered-down Christianity that just sits back and lets our country be turned into a Sodom and Gomorrah and is afraid to say anything about it. I'm not afraid to say anything about it. Because I'm going to preach the truth from God's word. Turn away from these people. Get away from them. And look, if God gave them over, why don't I give them over too? You know, God gave them up, but I still haven't. I still haven't. You know, I mean, God did, but I'm better than God. I'm smarter. I love people. I just love people more than God does. No, you don't. You're an idiot. Okay? And you need to just take the warning of what God has said here and cut these people out of your life because they're toxic. They're wicked. You say, well, we're going to reach them. Well, I thought that they're not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I thought God already gave them over to a reprobate mind. First of all, even if you wanted to evangelize these people, you don't have to bring people into your house to evangelize them, first of all. Because we go out and evangelize people all the time without actually, like, bringing them into our house and letting them play with our kids. Don't we go out and give people the gospel all the time without doing that? But number two, it's too late for them anyway. So, you know, that doesn't make sense from any angle, okay? They are reprobate concerning the faith. They're not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's too late for them. Stay away from them. Be warned about them. I don't want us to become desensitized to this, you know, because that's what our society is trying to do. It's like every year they bombard us with this, the whole year, but then especially in June, they bombard us. And I wonder if I were to back off on this, and maybe the rest of us were to back off on this, and we were to kind of just let our guard down a little, I wonder if 5 years from now it might start seeming a little bit normal to us. Or 10 years from now, it might start to seem a little bit normal. That's what they're trying to do. And there are people out there today, normal, straight people, who they're starting to get used to it. They're just getting used to like a couple of dudes, some dude saying, oh, this is my husband, you know. I mean, I was walking down the street the other day in Tempe, and this fruitcake comes up to me with his little clipboard. He's like, hi, do you have time to sign a petition about gay rights? I just went, oh, gross! That's disgusting! Yeah! Just walked away. Say, what did he say? Nothing. But you know what? That's what we all ought to be saying. It's like, you know, or I understand that in certain situations, it might not be appropriate for you to have an outburst like that. I was in a situation where it was perfectly appropriate for me because I'm just walking down the street in my own city doing my own thing. I understand if you're, you know, don't try that at work or something, okay? You know, that might not be a good idea. But you know what? You should always feel that way. Even if it's not appropriate to open your mouth, you know what? It's always appropriate to feel that way. That's how we should feel. We should be horrified, my friend. And they're trying to move the goalpost by showing us things that are even weirder, where with all this weird transvestites and stuff, and then they're trying to make that extreme to us, and then we'll just get used to the homos. I'm never going to be used to it, okay? And if I ever get used to it, please fire me as pastor, because you need somebody to get up here and raise some hell on this subject, okay? Because of the fact that this is a major battle in our time, and we as Christians cannot just roll over and just accept this as normal, okay? And you say, well, you're just one preacher. What are you going to accomplish? I don't know, but I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to accomplish as much as I can, you know, and hopefully other preachers will be emboldened by the fact that I'm preaching this way, and then they'll start preaching this way, and we can get a lot of guys preaching this way, and at least Christians can be warned and not listen to the bozos like Todd Friel telling them, bring homos into your home as a guest for a barbecue, and, you know, you can't even make this stuff up. And so they're reprobates. Go, if you would, to 2 Timothy 3 again, where we were. So in 2 Timothy 3, it goes down this list of the things that they're filled with. Just like we saw over in Romans 1, it says that men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You say, Pastor Anderson, you know, I'm just going to pin you down once and for all, Pastor Anderson. Do you hate homosexuals? Really? Yes, I do. Of course I do. Where have you been here for the last half hour of the sermon? But here's the thing. They hate me. What does the Bible say? Despisers of those that are good. Now, Romans chapter 1 already said that they hate God. Now the Bible says that they despise those who are good. So here's the thing about sodomites. They hate me. And they don't just hate me. They hate all Christians. Even the watered-down Christians who are like, we love you. You know, we're so sorry for people like Pastor Anderson that make it seem like we don't love you, but we just want you to know that we really do love you. The sodomites are just like, oh, you're pathetic. Sodomites hate you. They hate every saved Christian, even the most watered-down, liberal, queer-affirming Christian. They still hate them. They hate anybody who's saved. They despise those who are good, period. The useful idiots among Christians who think that they can somehow build a bridge with these people don't understand that they are hated by these people because they are despisers of those that are good. And then it says, traitors, heady, high-minded. Heady and high-minded are words for being prideful. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now you say, well, Pastor Anderson, why would it say that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof? You know, what does that mean? Well, I can think of a lot of examples of this because there are churches all over America and even in this city right now that will literally display a rainbow flag on their church building or church sign itself. Who has seen that on a church, on a Christian church, a church that claims the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've got that symbol on their signage? Now, that's a form of godliness. When you're saying so-and-so United Methodist Church, you know, so-and-so Christian church, that's a form of godliness. I mean, you're basically putting on a show or an outward form or show or a shape or a facade of godliness there by talking about Jesus. And I guarantee if I went to a church service at one of these places, after I puked in their toilet for you know, 35 minutes or something, then basically, you know, I guarantee you that the Bible would be opened at some point. And I guarantee you that a prayer would be said at some point. And I guarantee you that the name of Jesus will be uttered at some point. That's a form of godliness. But the Bible says they deny the power thereof. Let me ask you this. You think they believe in the virgin birth? You think that they believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ at these churches? No, I guarantee you that if we were to talk to the pastors of these churches and the leaders of these churches, they would tell us that the universe was created in the Big Bang. They would tell us that human beings evolved from animals. And they would tell us that Jesus Christ did not bodily rise from the dead and that he was just born of a young woman, not a virgin. I mean, do you think I'm right? Yeah, because churches that are to the point where they have that sodomite flag, they're also super liberal doctrinally to where they would reject things like the virgin birth and the bodily resurrection and whatever. Yeah. You know what that means? It means they have a form of guidance, but they deny the power thereof. I guarantee you they would deny the power of God. They would deny the miracles of the Bible is what they would do. They would not believe Jesus walked on water. I mean, look, I've talked to people who've been to Bible seminary. I talked to a guy who was at Fuller Seminary, and he had a teacher tell him that Jesus was walking on like this land bridge. You know, when he walked on the sea, it was like a high spot, and it was like a little land bridge that he was walking on. And then this guy raised his hand and said, well, what about when Peter sank? And he said, well, there's just a drop-off. There's a ledge and there's a drop-off. Folks, I know it sounds stupid. I know it sounds crazy. But guess what? Lots of so-called Christians don't actually believe the Bible. They don't actually believe the miracles. They deny the virgin birth. They deny the bodily resurrection. And they'll tell you, yeah, you know, the Big Bang is real and that's where the universe came from. You know, and we have evolved from apes and so forth. That's what they believe. So at that point, it's like, what are you even doing? Why not just be an atheist? Here's why they don't want to be an atheist, because they want to have a form of godliness. They want to deny the power thereof, but they want to have a form of godliness. And they infiltrate the church. They infiltrate Christianity, and they corrupt it and turn it into something that's no longer even Christian. If you don't have the bodily resurrection of Christ, you don't have Christianity. If you don't have the virgin birth, you don't have Christianity. If you don't have the miracles that Jesus performed, you don't have Christianity, all right? You have another Jesus and another gospel, another spirit. And so they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Now, here's what I've noticed, and this is not a criticism of women whatsoever, but it's just a fact that when I preach hard on the sodomites, it seems like women struggle with it more than men. That's just what I've observed. It seems like women in general have a little more sympathy or a soft spot for the queers. They're not necessarily as horrified by the queers, and so they're maybe a little more sympathetic and maybe thinking, well, you know, maybe we can fix them and whatever. Usually dudes, you kind of have them at hello with this doctrine. Because they're kind of just grossed out by it, horrified by it, even when they're not even saved, even when they haven't even read the Bible. It's just kind of a visceral thing for us as dudes. But women struggle with this, you know, a little bit more. But here's the thing about that. It doesn't really matter. If it's an easy pill to swallow for dudes, or if it's a difficult pill to swallow for women, here's the thing about that. Swallow it. Because it's the Word of God. You know what I mean? Like it's the Bible. So whether it's easy or hard, it's the Bible. Obey the Bible. Show me in the Bible, you know, the evangelistic crusades where it's like, hey, we got to get these homos saved. You know, that's not what you see in the Bible. If you study the Word of God, you see the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, Judges 19. You go down the list, and God is just wiping them out, punishing them. They're reprobates, given over to a reprobate mind. And, you know, of course, people will try to twist 1 Corinthians 6 and take it out of its context, which is, it's not even what that chapter is even about, and just take something out of context, proof text, by jerking something out of context and twisting its meaning. But, you know, if we actually look at a verse that's actually about the Sodomites, like Genesis 19, or about them, like Judges 19, or Romans 1, which is like, this is how they got that way, this is what they're like, and we actually read a scripture in context, you know, there is nothing in the Bible positively said about these people, period. And there's nothing saying that we need to go talk to them and that we need to be around them and bring them into our circle. You know, the Bible says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered, what do people do with that verse when they don't believe in this, what I'm preaching right now? Because if the Bible says don't cast your pearls before swine, who is it telling us not to cast them before? If there's hope for every single person and it's never too late for anyone, for any reason, then who are the swine that I'm not supposed to cast my pearls before? Can somebody tell me that? If it's not the Sodomites, then who is it? You know what I mean? These people are reprobates. I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine. I'm not going to give that which is holy unto the dogs. Why? Because they're just going to turn around and rend me. I don't want to be rent. And so here in 2 Timothy 3, it says, they lead captive silly women laden with sins. Don't be a silly woman. Don't be a silly woman who falls for these Hollywood Sodomites and thinks that they're nice, or the Sodomite at work or whatever, and you like being around him because he's into all the same girly things that you're into. He is a predator. He's dangerous. He's wicked. Don't be silly. Okay? Be sober. Be smart. Listen to what the Word of God is saying. From such turn away. Now, what does that even mean? If we're supposed to just bring everybody in and then what does it mean from such turn away? This is what turn away is. Turn away. Okay, what do I do next? Now you walk away. Right? Not like, come on in. It's like, no, 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 bye. See you later. Turn away. You know why from such turn away? I don't even want to look at these people.
Yeah.
That's why I want to turn away. I want to turn the other way. I mean, I've been out with my kids. I took one of my kids to the mall a few months ago. I forget the reason, but we were there. And basically, I literally just grabbed my daughter's head and just kind of told her like, hey, look away. There's a weird freak. And I had to kind of like shield her real quick because there was like this like 50-year-old dude that was like half naked, like in some mini skirt. It was just like some, it was just weird. It was like, it was bad. Like it was bad. And the pronoun is it. Okay. You know, and I was just like, I didn't even want my daughter to see that. It's so gross. And I just like turned her head away. I was like, whoa, don't look over there. You know, you don't want to see that. Cause it was just too gross. From such turn away. And that's why it's like, oh, you know, Pastor Anderson, you don't witness to enough homos. You know, look, I go out witnessing every week. Most people in our church are constantly witnessing and going out and evangelizing door to door. You know, but here's the thing. If I knock on somebody's door that's in drag, I do not believe for one second that God expects me to sit there and fill my mind with that filth and let that into my mind for 10 minutes talking to that person, looking at a dude in drag. No way. I'm not going to look at that. God's not saying, hey, that's what you got to do for the gospel. You got to stare at a dude and drag. No way. You're wrong. Not going to do it. And I've knocked on a door and some freak came to the door and I was just like, bye. I was just out of there. From such turn away, because I'm not going to sit and fill my mind or my soul winning partner's mind with that filth. It's disgusting. And how would you knowingly turn on some TV show and look at that. Because nowadays, there are all kinds of TV shows that are about these things, and you have dudes in drag, and imagine, it's bad enough when you're in public and you're forced to see this, but are you going to sit there and turn on a TV show and just watch that on the screen? Like some dude in drag is on the screen, and you're just sitting there, and you're going to sit there and watch that for entertainment. Well, I just want to see how weird it is. Folks, you are perverting your mind with that stuff. It's gross. It's wicked. Don't even look at it. Turn away from it. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. And so don't have that wickedness on your radar. It says that they lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And you know, today, with the internet and all of the information that's at our fingertips, there it should be obvious to anyone how dangerous and wicked these people are. But in spite of that, some people just, they don't want to know the truth on the subject. They don't want to know what I'm preaching, and so they put their head in the sand and ignore it. But in Romans chapter 1, if you flip back over there, we're done in 2 Timothy 3. But over back in Romans chapter 1, after it had this list of their attributes about how they are, verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so, God forbid that we as Christians would have pleasure in the people who do these horrible things. That we would delight in their music or their movies or just delight in them as friends or family or role models or anything else. You know, we don't want to have pleasure in those who do them. They are worthy of death, the Bible says. It says, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We don't want to have pleasure in people who do these things. The last two things that he says there in verse 31 are telling. Implacable, unmerciful. Implacable simply means you cannot placate them. And to placate someone is to satisfy them or appease them so that they'll leave you alone. Okay? Like, hey, let's just kind of give them what they want and they'll leave us alone. Folks, they will never leave us alone. They will always want more. And so if you tell them, okay, you can get married now, then they're going to say, well, we need to adopt kids now. And it's like, okay, you can adopt kids. It's like, well, no, now we want to teach this to your kids. We want to train your kids. And we're going to do it in the fifth grade. And then it's like, no, fifth, oh, you let us do it in the fifth grade? Let's go fourth grade. No, change my mind. Third grade. Folks, it will never be early enough for these people. It will never be early enough. Look, I've talked to people in this town who work in different schools. You know, I'm in touch with public school teachers, charter school teachers. I have acquaintances and people that I know in these various industries. And one that was a charter school teacher, a sixth grade class said, oh, there's several who are, going by the opposite gender. And saying that they're a girl when they're a boy or a boy when they're a girl or whatever. And I think it was like three in one class of sixth graders, because this is just the norm now in our elementary schools to have children in elementary schools being brainwashed and their minds perverted to the point where they're confused about their own gender and they think they're a homo and they're like 11. Now, whenever you hear these perverted sodomites talk, they always claim that they've always been a homo. Like, I was born this way. I knew I was this way when I was 5. I knew when I was 7. I knew when I was 8 or 9 or 10. Here's why that is garbage. Because no child that age is attracted to either gender in that way, because they don't have those kind of feelings because they're a child. Okay? A child has not gotten to the point yet where they're having those kind of thoughts. Unless they've been exposed to something that they shouldn't have been exposed to. And so a normal kid who's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, they're living for what? They're living for the next ice cream cone, the next kickball game, the next video game, the next roller coaster ride. I mean, think about it, right? What did you think about when you were that age? And even if they do say like, oh, so-and-so has a crush on so-and-so or whatever, it's just because they're trying to be grown up and they're trying to mimic older kids and they're trying to be like the teenagers and be like the adults or be like what they saw on TV or something. But in their heart, they're not having those kind of physical cravings. The only kind of craving that they have is just for more candy bars and more Flamin' Hot chips and more sour straws or whatever. Okay? And they just want to ride the roller coaster and ride their bicycle, and they want to just have fun and play because they're kids. Right? That's what they crave. Okay? And here's the thing. To sit there and say, oh, this 7-year-old or whatever, you know, he's a boy and he prefers boys. Every 7-year-old boy prefers boys. But not in a sick way, you filthy freak. They just basically want to hang around with other boys because they're a boy and that's just how kids are. You know, I remember like yesterday walking into fourth grade and our names were on our desk with an assigned seat. And I remember walking into fourth grade, sitting in my seat. I looked to the left and there was a girl's name on the desk. I looked to the right, girl's name on the desk. Look in front of me, girl's name on the desk. Look behind me, girl's name on the desk. And I remember just thinking like, this is horrible. This is a nightmare. Now, here's the thing. You walk into high school, and it's like, okay, you know, yeah, let's go. But here's the thing. You know, when you walk into elementary school, when you walk into fourth grade, it's, you know, you're like, oh, no. Then I realized that wasn't an accident. The whole class had been laid out. Boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl. Why? Because he knows you're not going to goof off. You're not going to be talking. You're not going to be playing as much because you don't have as much common with the girls because you want to talk to the boys. So now you're talking over some girl and there's going to be less shenanigans happening. That's just called being a normal kid. But to the pure, all things are pure. To the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So they project their sickness onto our kids and want to pervert children. And let me tell you something. Any person who, you know, changes the gender of their child should be taken out like a dog and shot. Amen. Okay? What kind of a sick freak would mutilate a child? These people should be killed. And you know, you get all offended and you're all mad at Pastor Anderson and Pastor Anderson's so mean and oh, I'm just going to go down to the old IFB pre-tribber church down the street or whatever. You know what? You go ahead and you just hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, because let me tell you something. I'm not going to stop preaching against these freaks. They deserve to be killed. They're so evil. And if you don't think that they're evil, then you know what? You're either stupid or wicked or both. Because anybody who wants to mutilate children, and that's what they're doing today, now they're mutilating the children. They're literally chopping off their parts. They're literally pumping them with drugs to turn a boy into a girl. Pumping them with drugs to turn a girl into a boy. And you're going to defend that junk to me? You know what? Come defend that to my face, and I'll tell you what a lousy Christian you are and ask you to not come back to our church. How about that? How about that? Huh? You say, well, Pastor Anderson, you know, are you embarrassed, you know, to be, you know, banned from so many countries? Isn't that kind of embarrassing? Aren't you embarrassed to be the leader of a hate group? You know, you know what? Pastors who won't confront this evil ought to be embarrassed. Amen. To get up behind the pulpit knowing that they haven't fully done their job. Amen. What kind of a crazy world are we living in? And by the way, this musician, Adele, is that her name? This chubby blonde chick? Okay, hey, who knows who I'm talking about? And you say, well, I kind of like Adele. You know, I kind of like her music. Did you know that she's one of these freaks who has perverted her child and turned it into another gender? Did you know that? Who knew that? Can I get a witness? All right. Any other witnesses? Hey, Google it, my friend. She was on there talking about how her kid is actually, I forget if it was a girl who thinks it's a boy who thinks it's a girl. You know what? How can you then turn around and you're going to turn around and listen to Adele's music and turn around and say like, oh, you know, Adele is, you know, what a great musician. Okay, but hold on a second. Like, doesn't that just kind of ruin the music for you at that point? Once you realize like that this, what this person is doing to a child, that this person is basically a child predator, you know, that would do that. Now, you know, I didn't get enough witnesses. I feel like I need to Google this real quick. So just don't mind me. I'm just going to Google this real quick. You know, but I like to bring this kind of stuff up because, you know, it's so easy for our young people to just kind of get plugged into the pop culture and to just think that these musicians are so cool and that these actors are so cool and to get into this stuff. You know, so I want to expose these people. Yeah, Adele takes her son to Disneyland dressed as Anna from Frozen. How do you like them apples? First result. Adele would be happy if her son had a boyfriend when he's older. Adele challenges gender norms at Disney. Transgender universe. Celebrity parents supporting their LGBT. This is like a little kid. This is not like some adult child who grew up to become a sodomite. This is like her little kid that she's dressing up and perverting, her lets her son dress up like a Frozen princess and all this junk. How old can this kid be? Let's see. Now he's like, one of them's like 9 now. Did somebody say 3? That's what I thought. So this kid was already being pushed this way at age 3. So why don't we all get together after church and let's listen to some Adele together and just enjoy her beautiful voice and just enjoy. You can't. Doesn't that just ruin it for you? I hope that ruins it for you, you know? But here's the thing, you know, you're going to find a lot of the musicians and a lot of the actors and actresses that you might idolize or think are so cool, you know, this is the kind of stuff a lot of them are into. And you need to decide, you know, if you're going to be on the Lord's side, or if you're going to be on that evil, twisted, satanic side. And, you know, think about this. When someone like her, who has probably literally, I don't know, 100 million fans or something, because, you know, my understanding is this is a big name. You know, that she's, like, super popular. Like, she's probably, you know, having number one hits and stuff like that. From what I understand, this is, like, a big name musician, okay? When someone like that comes out and says, hey, I'm dressing up my 3-year-old like a girl, you know what that's going to do? That's going to influence millions of people, right? And, you know, here I am. It's like I'm preaching to a couple hundred people on Sunday night. I'm preaching, you know, to my YouTube channel that gets shut down every week. And they're scared to death. They're scared to death of this sermon. Like this sermon can't exist on YouTube and it'll be removed from YouTube. Why? Why will this sermon be removed from YouTube? Because they're scared to death of this sermon because they know how powerful God's word is. Not because I'm a great preacher. I'm not necessarily, you know, explaining all this in the most eloquent way or, you know, I'm not exactly a silver-tongued orator up here tonight. But I'm laying down facts tonight, and I'm reading Bible verses, and, you know, what I'm saying is true, and the Holy Spirit's going to tell you the same thing if you study your Bible. I know, because I studied the Bible, and this is what the Holy Spirit showed me when I studied Romans chapter 1 and all these other passages. And, you know, they're scared to death. You know, Adele can get up and just pervert 100 million people by just showing them, oh, look at me, look at what I'm doing. Right? But then, you know, little old me says this to a couple hundred people or a couple hundred thousand YouTube subscribers, and it's like, shut him down, silence him. Stop and ask yourself, why are people like me being silenced? Like, if I'm such an idiot, and some people think that I'm a joke or a laughingstock, and there are a lot of people online that laugh at me, and I get all kinds of emails and voicemails like, oh, this must be a parody, you're such a joke, you're so ridiculous. You know, here's my question. If my preaching is such a joke and if it's so ridiculous, then why don't we play it on the Comedy Channel? You know, if it's such a joke and if it's such a ridiculous, and they say, you make Christianity look so bad, well, then the atheists should be playing it everywhere. Then YouTube should love it, because YouTube isn't for Christianity. I mean, if I'm doing such a bad job of teaching what the Bible says, then YouTube should just let me run wild so I can just mess everything up for Christians. No, the truth of the matter is, I'm telling the truth. And if people hear this message, they're actually going to see that I'm right. And even people who don't like me, even people who would listen to this sermon and kind of like, who kind of like bristle a few times, and some people might even like cringe a little and say, hey, you know, parts of that sermon by Pastor Anderson were a little cringe. Here's the thing about that, though. They're still going to walk away and be like, but, he's got a point, though. And they're still going to walk away accepting like 95% of what I said. Okay, whereas if I don't say anything, then all you're hearing from is just Wells Fargo and Bank of America and American Airlines and Southwest and even Duolingo. And I love Duolingo and Rosetta Stone and all the rest of it because I'm a language guy. But you know what's gonna happen to the Rosetta Stone lingo? And then you're doing Duolingo and it's like, oh, my husband, blah blah blah. And you're just like stupid, blah blah blah, you know. Oh, sorry, you know, I was just trying to do a Spanish lesson, you know. It's like, that ain't Spanish. But the thing is, who knows what I'm talking about? Who's been on Duolingo and they try to hit you with like, it's like, I'm not trying to learn how to say this, but I try to keep a real positive attitude. I try to keep a real positive attitude. So I'm like, well, at least they're teaching me this so that I'll be able to mark and avoid faggots in this language. You know, that's what I try to be. I try to look on the bright side, like, you know, some dude's like, you know, mi esposo, then I know, like, it's no bueno, all right? It's malas cosas. So, look, folks, we got to have these sermons. We got to read this verse in Romans 1. We've got to keep this in front of you. I got to keep it in front of me. You got to keep it in front of you. Because I'm telling you, the enemy is out there and they are pushing this garbage hard and they're going to be pushing it hard all month long in the month of June. And you know, we need to know where we stand on this. And if you're confused on the reprobate doctrine, I'll be happy to explain it to you. And if you reject the reprobate doctrine, okay, but you still can't deny the fact that the Bible calls them vile, haters of God, and everything else. Even if you think like, well, I still think they could get saved. Well, then you go out and get as many of them saved as you want. Just don't bring them to church, okay? But you're wasting your time. There are plenty of other people to reach with the gospel than to focus on that. But today, our churches have dropped the ball, and it's our job as independent fundamentalist Baptists to carry the torch of being one of the few people that get up and tell it like it is on this subject and call a spade, and I'm not going to stop. And I am willing to pay any price, okay? Because of the fact that to me, being a pastor means that I must get up and preach the whole counsel of God, whatever the cost. And if I ever get to the point where I can't do that, then I can't be a pastor anymore. If I can't get up and call it out. And you know, it's not enough to just read the verse and say, well, there it is, folks. It's my job as a preacher to apply the verse to the day that we live in and make application to what we are facing right now. And if today there are people out there that want to have this in libraries, in the children's section, they want to have a transvestite story hour at the library, they want to have an elementary school teaching this in the curriculum. All of these things are happening right now. The people behind it are beyond sick. They are the worst scum of the earth. They're evil. And Leviticus 20:13 is still in the Bible. They should be executed. That is what the Bible says. Okay? Now, again, I'm not for vigilantism. I am not violent. I've never encouraged anyone to commit violence. I'm not telling you to be violent. I'm telling you, though, that according to the Word of God, that is a crime punishable by death. Just like first-degree murder should be punishable by death, being a homosexual should be punishable by death. That is what the Bible says. Leviticus 20:13, look it up in your Bible. It's there, okay? You know, somebody told me, I haven't had a chance to watch the video yet, but somebody told me that Pastor Shelley and some of the guys from his church, they went to a city council meeting in their town because the town was going to bring in a sodomite parade. And some guys from Steadfast Baptist Church in the Dallas area, they went to the city council meeting and they got up and they quoted Leviticus 20:13. And they got up and said, and they read laws where it used to be punishable by death in the United States. And they got up and spoke these things openly in a city council meeting with a whole bunch of angry sodomites there. And they went there and confronted them at the city council meeting. And think about what they've already been through. That church has already been evicted from their building. Brick through the window, lawsuits, right? Kicked out by their landlord, the judge, the Texas judge evicting them from their building because of preaching against sodomites, preaching the word of God. And yet they still are down there raising hell at the city council meeting, speaking out against sodomites and quoting Leviticus 20:13 from God's unchanging word at that city council meeting. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad there's somebody who's got some guts left in this country. And the thing is, you know, it's not about being violent. They're the ones who are violent. We're not violent. We're battling with ideas. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against these wicked ideas and thoughts and imaginations. And so by going down to that meeting, they were able to get their message out and speak out against these things. And when they went down there, you know, they said there were very few Christians there. They said maybe there were like five other Christians there, but like hundreds of sodomites there, you know, just showing up in force. And they said out of the maybe five other Christians that they saw there, was like three of them were little old ladies there. You know, thank God for some little old ladies that have more hair on their legs than the preachers in the pulpits of independent Baptist churches today. And they actually had more courage and boldness to get up and actually tell, I guess, they're not silly women. And again, I haven't seen the videos. I don't really need to see the videos necessarily to be able to support it. I'm already for it. I already support Steadfast because I've seen their documentary, The Sodomite Deception. And it's one of the greatest, it's the feel-good film of the century, as far as I'm concerned. And so, you know, 5 stars, 2 thumbs up, okay? It's great. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. And Lord, you've warned us in Romans 1. You've warned us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just destroy and wipe out these evil workers of iniquity, Lord. I pray that the haters of Christ who have been given over to a reprobate mind, Lord, I pray that they would be destroyed. I pray that their folly would be made manifest unto all men. And I pray that they would go down quick into hell, Lord, and that you would just avenge your people of these horrible predators that have corrupted our society and exposed us to so much garbage, Lord. And dear Lord, I pray that you would just protect Steadfast Baptist Church, Lord. Bless Pastor Shelley and the brethren there that are facing even more persecution now that they've gone down to that city council meeting. But Lord, thank you for their commitment and their steadfastness, Lord, that they've lived up to that name. And I pray that you would continue to bless and protect them, Lord. And Lord, I know that Pastor Shelley shared with me that people have been sending him filthy images and hate mail. Lord, I pray that every single person that sent him a filthy image, I pray that they would die today, Lord. That would send a man of God a sodomite picture, Lord. I pray that they would die today. Because, Lord, your men are sacred and that's the worst way that they could abuse him, Lord. And so I pray that you would just punish these people and avenge your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.